Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Welcome to The Jump, where none of us are in our bathrobes. For the first time in more than a year, I am joined in person by our insider, two-time New York Times bestselling author and host of the Hoop Collective podcast, original Jump OG Brian Windhorst. Welcome back.
This desk is spectacular. It's just gorgeous. I'm so happy.
It is real and spectacular. And of course, the seven-time champ, the legend, Mr. Robert Ori. Thank you for being with us as well. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. But first, we know how series go after a team is up 3-0. There's a rhythm to this stuff. The way the team that's down comes out desperate and scrappy. And hey, sometimes they even get a game, but that's usually it. In NBA history, no team with a 3-0 series lead has ever lost that series. Not once in the 141 times that situation has occurred. So when the ball tipped off in D.C. between the top-seeded Sixers and the eighth-seeded Wizards, it was easy to feel like you knew what was about to happen. We did not know what was about to happen. Instead, we got chaos. This was right in the first quarter. Robin Lopez blocking Joel Embiid on a drive to the hoop. At first, it looks like Embiid falls on his back or hip, but slow it down, and you can see that his foot and leg are going to take the brunt of the fall first, which when you are nearly 300 pounds, that is a big brunt. And Joel gets credit for trying to gut this out, but he was clearly hobbled. And once he disappeared into the locker room, he never came back, with the team announcing, quote, right knee soreness. We are waiting for an update there. Anyway, that left Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris to lead the charge for Philadelphia. And hey, Harris has had some terrific outings this season since being reunited with Doc Rivers. Yesterday was not one of them. The Wizards seemed to have Harris's shot on auto block. He was 8-for-24 from the floor, just 1-of-5 from three. Now, on the other side, neither Bradley Beal nor Russell Westbrook was exactly lighting it up either, but Russ did pull down a ridiculous 21 rebounds, and Washington also got a nice boost from Rui Hachimura. And all of this, you would think, would put the Wizards' home crowd in a good mood. Although, maybe it was too good a mood, because in the third quarter, some idiot ran onto the court and tried to do idiot stuff. Seriously, people, this whole fans-gone-wild crap that we've seen in NBA arenas this past week or so, it is not funny. From the water bottle that got thrown at Kyrie's head on Sunday to the earlier incidents involving Russ, Trae Young, or Ja Morant's family, it is all way, way over the line. And I really have no idea how anyone could have come out of the year we have just experienced with so little regard or decency for other people or for the privilege of just getting to do something as normal as sit in a full arena and watch a basketball game. Fortunately, the fan in D.C. didn't disturb any of the players directly, which meant the game continued, but again, not exactly in a normal way. Instead, down the stretch, the Wizards started going hack-a-shack on Ben Simmons, who had come into the evening 0-for-9 from the foul line in the series. Now, this is not a totally new strategy for Coach Scott Brooks. When Simmons was a rookie, Brooks once instructed his team to send Simmons to the line 24 times in a single quarter. Now, it didn't work back then. I guess it sort of worked last night, because even though Simmons went 1-for-2 each time Washington tried the tactic, the Wizards were still able to pull out the win and extend the series at least one more game. Afterward, a reporter asked Doc if he had considered pulling Simmons when Washington was fouling him. Here was Doc's reply.
No.
Why not?
You want me to take Ben Simmons off the floor?
No, I mean, I got to ask the question.
I will pass on that one. He's pretty good, so I'll pass on that suggestion.
Doc is right. Anyone only looking at Simmons through a scoring lens is making a mistake, which is why it is so crucial the Sixers get a healthy Embiid back. They might not absolutely need him to close out this series, especially not after Davis Bertans, who was also hurt yesterday, was diagnosed with a calf strain that Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting will essentially, in effect, end his season. But after a night where nothing went as expected, Philadelphia was reminded just how fickle the playoffs can be. Get out of rhythm too often, and you can get knocked off the dance floor entirely. So there's just so much there, Robert, but let's start with the Embiid injury. Do you think the Sixers can at least just get out of the first round, even if he can't come back for Game 5?
I think they can, because if you look at the cast of characters that they have, they have some all-star type caliber. You got Harris that's been there. And also you got a guy that's been there for a long time, and I call him Hips.
Okay.
And because he's won three championships on three different teams. You know, I call him Hips, but I love the guy. And they have a great crew, man. Mm-hmm. If you look at Tobias Harris should have been all-star. You got Dwight Howell who just coming off a championship. There's so many guys on this team that can carry him. And let's face it, if they find a way to stop Bill, they'll be fine. So I'm not worried about it. I know everybody said, oh, they're down 3-1 now. Well, they're up 3-1 and they lost Embiid. They've been without Embiid before. So this is not something new for them. So they can, you know, weather the storm and be just okay.
I am covering this series as much as you can cover it in today's day
Zoom.
And age. And so I was on with the players and the coaches last night, and I can tell you that there was a level of concern about Embiid. You're right, Robert. They've done this before. They've played without him. But they also know if he's not back and where he needs to be, they're not winning the Eastern Conference. And the reason that I hope that he's okay, and this is just a minor thing, is this team was playing so well. They won 10 of 12 down the stretch to get the number one seed.
Yep.
Then in this series, Tobias played great, that 37-1 game. Ben Simmons was playing really well before the hack of Ben last night. And then Joel came into this game averaging 30 points and 67% shooting. He's never looked better. They, in my mind, were gearing up for a major showdown in the conference finals. And I got to say, Rachel, I bet B doesn't talk to the media yet, but I bet he's got to be feeling deja vu because it was in March in Washington where he hurt his other knee on a similar play where he landed and it kind of bucked a little bit and he missed a month. Now, what you're hoping from this MRI today is that you see a minor thing. Maybe he can't play in tomorrow's game 5. Maybe he can't play in a theoretical game 6, but that he would be back relatively soon. And that MRI is going to be really important.
Yeah, and look, we will keep you guys updated if that comes up during the show. I do want to get to the Hack of Ben stuff, though. How did you feel about Doc Rivers, Robert, coming out and defending Ben so vehemently? If you listen to the rest of that press conference, by the way, he was upset with Philadelphia fans saying that even our own fans don't appreciate Ben enough and what he can do.
I just want to say, would you take Shaquille O'Neal out of the game? Because it's called Hack of Shaq for a reason. And I played 7 years with Shaq, and they've been doing this for a long time. Popovich was the master of trying to get Shaq to go to the foul line. But all that does is make a guy mad.
Right.
And when he goes on the other end, he's going to play better defense, he's going to get rebounds, and he's going to make his teammates even better. But people in the stands got to say, okay, he's missing free throws. So what? What does he give you on the other end? He gives you everything on the other end. He gives you great defense. He gets other people involved in the game. So you can't worry about that. He's going to figure it out. He'd be all right. 1 out of 2, I'd take that. Just get you a lead so if it does happen, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, Robert, what Doc said was 1 out of 2 is 1 point per possession, and statistically, 1 point per possession is acceptable. If you
I
do that,
love you'll be Doc.
Fine.
He even mentioned the word analytics.
That's
he
right.
was
what?
Who knew? Doc Rivers, Mr. Analytics.
He flipped it right around.
Mm-hmm.
He's been defending Ben all season.
Mm-hmm.
He's been saying this guy should be the defensive player of the year. He's been saying you guys don't respect him enough. Last night he said he's a treasure. You're going to miss this treasure. And the thing about it is that Ben Simmons is terrific, but when Embiid is out of the game and they lose the ability to double teams and open those three-point shooting, his foul shooting is a liability. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. That doesn't mean he's a bad person. But it is a liability. And he shot 53% at the line after the All-Star break this year. Scott Brooks knew that. And I would look forward again if Joel could not play tomorrow night.
Well, I mentioned it. Scott Brooks has done it before. So he apparently was looking out for it.
I'm just saying, be like Shaq. Take him to the post. Run out of bounds like Shaq used to do so you can't foul him. And then you'll be fine.
Be like Shaq. Just the easiest instructions in basketball. Look, back to the issue of the fan running on the court. Fortunately, you know, it didn't turn into anything more, but, you know, there's safety issues. Obviously, we've seen this in other sports. Brian, is the league coming up with any solution other than what they can do, which is ban fans from arenas? And then obviously, we've now seen an uptick in teams going to the actual police in the city they are in. This fan was arrested, and the fan up in Boston was arrested as well.
Do we think banning fans from arenas is really an effective tool? Because we're not going on with fingerprints. I guess if you lose your season tickets, like I think one of the fans lost their season tickets. That is definitely painful. But I think I could probably get into the arena with a disguise. So two things have got to happen.
Like a mustache or like a...
Well, I'm so famous, I would never be able to do it.
Exactly, yeah.
But first off, I'm not sure that the security staff has been beefed back up. If you watch what happened in this game last night, this guy ran from the middle of the concourse all the way down to the court, unabated within 2 seconds. Yeah. Obviously, it was a letdown. That's not supposed to happen. That's been protected for years. It was a breach there. There's also a social contract. Society says, we're going to let you sit here, and you have to respect the players, and in return, you get to have this great intimacy. Yeah. So I am going to wager on society, and that society will outcast these people. But part of that is harsh penalties, not banned from the arena, felonies or severe misdemeanors, and that's what I think we're going to see happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with the misdemeanor part. You know, they should have some kind of thing where they can, like, not just ban them from the arena, do something for the law can take over, put them in jail for a couple of weeks or something, you know, something severe, so you discourage other people from doing it. You watch this guy who ran on the court. You see this happening in so many sports where someone is running on the field because they want to get noticed. We just saw this in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And these people say they should want attention. So you want some attention, let's put you in jail. And I love what we did.
Yep,
we skewed out his face so you can't see who he is. Nope. That's the perfect thing. Don't give him any kind of acknowledgement. Put him in jail, let him sit there in solitary confinement for about 2 weeks.
And let him spend $20,000 defending himself from a serious charge. That would, you know, help him.
And I'm okay releasing their name. I don't want to put their face on TV. Obviously, we didn't do that. But by releasing the name, look, if that person's boss or friends or there's a little social pressure on them, like, come on, man, why are you an idiot? I think that's okay, too.
They sitting around a water cooler right now. I know people don't sit around a water cooler anymore, but I'm saying they sitting around talking about, oh, did you see me? Like, yeah, man, that was funny, man. He's like, what happened? So now he got his social media up. That's all they want. It's the social media thing. Did you see me around the court?
Right.
So many things like that come into play where you got it. The security has to be beefed up. I know right now a lot of people still don't know what's going on in these arenas as far as the security and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care. The fans are going to be crazy right now because they've been locked up. Bring that security. Bring more security. That's more jobs. It's the NBA. You can afford it. Put more security in.
Yes, everyone has been stuck at home. We have not been able to have sports the way we have wanted to for more than a year. Can we just have nice things? Like, I'm sorry. I am just, it blows my mind that especially after this past year, where I hope we all have a deeper gratitude and appreciation for each other as humans, and then obviously these communal experiences we did not get to have for so long, how people can just be so trifling with them and abuse that. It is beyond me, and I really hope that we can see a downshift in this because it has been a bad, bad week in this department, people.
You don't want this trending up.
Exactly. All right, stick with us. Coming up in just 2 minutes, Clint Capela had all the smoke for the Knicks in his media availability today. Seriously, you want to stick around to hear what he said. All right, sticking with that Jazz-Grizz series, Utah did win their third straight. It is now a 3-1 series for them. Unbeaten since Donovan returned to the lineup. So, Brian, are the Jazz starting to look as dominant as you expected here?
Here's what I liked about these two wins in Memphis. Both games could have gone either direction.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the old boa constrictor.
Yeah, there we go.
Just wrapped around and squeezed the life out of both games. And that is what a confident, experienced, championship level team does. I wouldn't say they super impressed me the way they played there, but the way they handled their business, Robert, that was impressive.
Yeah, they're a team on a mission because if you think about it, people have really talked bad about the Jazz saying, oh, they're winning games. They're not a championship quality team.
Right.
But if you look at the makeup of this team, they are a championship quality team. Think about it. They got two guys on the bench with six man of the year and runner up six man of the year. And they got one of the best shot blockers that's probably ever played this game in Rudy Gobert. So their defense is good. Their offense is excellent. Now that we got Spider back. So you better watch out for this crew. I was doubting them. I was one of the people that was doubting them. But after watching them late, they can ball.
Three All-Stars, experience.
1-2 in six man of the year voting, right?
Mm-hmm. That's, as Robert said, terrific. A shot blocker who's just invaluable in a playoff setting.
Yep.
And Quinn Snyder is an excellent coach. I know all the coaches at this level are good, but you're going to trust Quinn Snyder to work in games and within series. I know that they don't have the profile of a classic team that has like the MVP candidate, but they absolutely could be holding the gold ball at the end of this thing.
And I'm not counting the Grizzlies out of winning another game in this series. They are such a fun team to watch. They have gone into Utah and done it before in this last week or two, so we'll see how this goes. But really, really strong stuff from the Jazz there. We've got some other series in the West that are more up in the air. Coming up, Anthony Davis' status is in question for tonight's pivotal Game 5. How much pressure is on LeBron James? We will chat on that next on The Jump. Keep it locked. Welcome back to The Jump presented by Dell. We've got Robert Ori, Brian Windhorst still here in the studio. I'm still excited, not over it. All right, let's talk about the massive Game 5 tonight in Phoenix. Anthony Davis, questionable for Game 5 tonight. MRI confirming that he did, in fact, strain his groin in the Lakers' Game 4 loss. Now, LeBron played 38 minutes in that Game 4. He recorded 25 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. But, Brian, with AD injured and possibly out, how much pressure would you say is on LeBron James today?
It's a funny word, pressure, because it's not like how he plays in this game is going to define anything in his career, but it's going to define this season. And if you go back and look at his career, some of his most pivotal games have been game fives in 2-2 series. His greatest game of his early part of his career in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I know you were there.
I was
game
there.
Five, double overtime. The game that pretty much ended his first Cavs career, game five, 2-2 against the Celtics. He had several other big game fives when he was with the Heat in close series. Game 5 in a 2-2 series is obviously a vital game. This is where, when you have a guy like LeBron James, it makes all the difference in the world. But the thing is, because AD is out, he's going to really, as great as he can play tonight, he's got to have help from his teammates, and they've got to play top-level defense, because the Suns have been getting their legs underneath them, and they're going to be playing at home, and that crowd's going to be into it, and this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, the crowd is crazy in Phoenix.
It is.
And it's a young team. And think about this. You are trying to make your name in this NBA. I beat the Lakers. I beat LeBron James. Not the Lakers. They're going to say, oh, we beat LeBron. And they're coming at them. So LeBron is going to have to muster up some type of energy from somewhere, because we know he's been in this league a long time, the most playoff games ever played by an individual. But it ain't just about LeBron. It's about Dennis. It's about KCP, it's about that whole team. And they got to find someone else to stay up. Think about this. Dennis Schroeder, you learn from CP3. So you know what his mental is. You should go out and try to attack and tell your teammates what you need to do to try to defeat him or try to break him down. But Kyle Kuzma, you really got to step up. This is the one guy the Lakers need. We always talk about a third scorer. Yes. Now you became a fourth scorer because of Dennis Schroeder. Now you're the third scorer again. You've got to step up.
So they are shooting, their team, shooting 34% on open three-pointers, 4 to 6 feet of space. During the regular season, they shot 40% when they were not one of the good three-point shooting teams. They need at least an average game of open shots tonight, and ideally an overachieving game.
Right, but if playoff they get, basketball is harder. Those numbers do.
I know, but that was the difference between them in the bubble last year is that they hit those outside shots. And with that buffer, they became a dominating team. They're going to need that outside shooting.
So you mentioned some of those pivotal game fives. They all not have been in the first round, but we have seen LeBron in those games where it was just like, you remember that game in Boston, that second year he was with the Heat, right? And it was like, you have to go win this game. He needs to put it on his shoulders and do it. And in the first round, he has never lost back-to-back games, ever. 71 games that he's played in first round, never had a back-to-back loss. Tim Duncan and, oh, look, Robert Ori on that list also. Top three of all time, Robert. And just this goes back to, is he still a guy at this point in his career? And frankly, with this injury, I don't even think I would be asking this question before he sprained his ankle. But as Frank Vogel has said multiple times, he said he has made the point. LeBron is not completely right yet. LeBron has said he's not 100%. Is he capable at this age with this injury he's still nursing going out and putting the whole thing and just going out and getting the win?
I really think he can, because a lot of times as a player, when you have someone like AD, you can say, I don't need to do the things that I normally do because I have AD. Now AD is out. I got to ramp it up a little bit. I got to go out there and attack the basket, because if you watch LeBron play in games, he's only spent twice. You know, he comes down the lane, he spins. He's only done that twice.
Really?
And that lets you know that ankle is not right. Now he's going to do that, because that's how he gets to the hole. That's how you get and-ones and buckets. He has to be in attack mode in order for this team to be successful. He can't just sit on the perimeter and play at the ball, because he has two good defenders on him. Bridges, he's one of these young, tough defenders we talk about, trying to make his name in his league. So he has to be in attack mode, because vets like that get calls.
Well, look, just as the Lakers get more injuries on their plate, the Suns do seem to be getting healthier. You heard that little clip of sound at the front of the segment here. Chris Paul definitely looked better. Better range of motion all the way through in game four. Still has not made a three since game one, but he led the Suns 18 points, 9 assists, and just immeasurable confidence he gave that team on the floor. 32 minutes. Look, Rob, how much better did CP3 look to you, and what do you expect when he's had another 2 days of rest for tonight's game?
100%
better. Day and a half, as he pointed out.
100% better. You can just tell by his shot. He had a hitch in that shot when he first hurt his arm, and when he was going to the free throw line, he was shaking like, oh, I have no feeling in his arm. So there's a lot of things going on with him, but you need him on that court, not just for his shot-making ability, his playmaking ability, but his leadership. Mm-hmm. He's always in the ear of the guys and telling them what to do, because the guy's one of the best vets to ever be in this game, a great, great teammate, and he wants to get to that championship. He's been so close so many times. Now he has a team that can do it.
So the Suns played in the Western Conference Finals in 2010, mm-hmm. Mario Stoudemire's last year there. I would argue this is their biggest game since then, biggest game in a decade. Mm-hmm. They traded for Chris Paul. They drafted Devin Booker. They drafted DeAndre Ayton, signed these guys to contracts for this moment to win this game. Now, obviously, it's not the be-all, end-all. We're talking about a first-round game. We're talking about a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in a decade. This is where the Suns say, we either are a real contender or we're not. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on our home court with our team, if generally full power, and we're going to beat this team. We're going to beat LeBron James. Huge moment for Phoenix. Chris is aware of it. Absolutely massive game in Phoenix tonight, and I want to see high-level basketball from the Suns. It's going to tell me a lot about them, way more about the Suns to me than the Lakers.
See, well, even he said it, beat LeBron James. Not the Lakers, beat LeBron James.
Right. That's true. That's the way it is.
Yeah. It was interesting. So in game four, I was the sideline reporter on our ABC broadcast, and you get really into the weeds right on the TikTok of, you know, Chris's injury and all of this stuff. So Monty tells me not long before the game, he's going to really have to prove to me in pregame warmups that he is
because he was yanking him out of the game, which is no good.
He said, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he said the equivalent of, he's going to basically have to show me that I'm not better off giving those minutes to our other guards. And he gets, also need to hear from the medical staff that giving him a day or two of extra rest by pulling him from game four isn't the best thing either. And he seemed that he was going to hold Chris to a very high standard for Chris to get out on the court. And you heard Chris then post-game saying Monty was like, I think we're going to sit you. And then Chris was like, you've got to let me get out there and show what I can do.
Yes.
And that, to me, is just the heart of who Chris Paul is. He is so competitive, and he is the kind of guy who shows up for his team. And we got to see that again in game four. We will get to see it on the Lakers side tonight, what happens there. All right, guys, coming up, play one of our favorite games, Something, Nothing, or Brian?
Everything.
There you go. Draymond Green made it an East pick. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Bucks sweep. We'll talk about everything. Something, nothing, or yeah, that. Here's what the Jump recommends for today. Cue the Vegas music. Yeah, check out ESPN Plus for today's best bets for tonight's games. That's courtesy of our ESPN Daily Wager team. They got the lines, their recommendations. You can read that during the break, and then we'll be right back.
See Doug Kazarian won $300,000. He knows what he's doing.
Saw Paul Pierce with his stock portfolio posted online.
He was proud of it.
All right, time to revisit one of our favorite games on the Jump, Something, Nothing, or Everything. First up, Norm Powell dropping 29 in a win over the Nuggets in Game 4. Powell went 11 for 15 from the field, 4 for 4 from 3, helping the Blazers win by 20 points. Now we have that pivotal Game 5, love to that expression, in the series tonight. The presumptive MVP, Nikola Jokic, could be on the brink of elimination if the Nuggets don't win. So, Robert, was this performance from Powell Something, Nothing, or Everything?
I'm going to call it something because this is what they brought him here for, to be that third scorer. We know Carmelo can come off the bench and give you some points, but Norman Powell, we need a third scorer. And when you have Damian Lillard that doesn't have a Damian Lillard type game, we need someone else to step up. So this is something because I say it's something because that's what we brought you here to do. So it's just in the middle.
Let me tell you why it's everything. Because we're talking about his 29 points, but he did something else this game. He got into Michael Porter's space, and he got into Michael Porter's head. Mm-hmm. Michael Porter was awful in this game. He took 3 shots total because he was up in him on screens. He was up in him, crowding him, holding him, punching him, doing all kinds of stuff. And Michael Porter basically mentally checked out of this game. So everything Norm Powell did offensively, that's, you know, he also kept Michael Porter down. If he's able to hold Michael Porter to you know, less than the rest of the series, it's a huge difference maker in this thing.
Yeah, and look, obviously, they're already missing Jamal Murray. I continue to be very impressed with Nikola Jokic, but you're right. If they start taking this guy out and then this guy for an injury and all of that, he cannot win a series all by himself. Yeah. It's just not too much to expect.
Porter's got to play better. He's got to outplay Norm Powell, period.
Yes.
But Norm Powell got him in this one.
Do you know what watching Norm Powell in this game, though, made me think of?
What?
What if Kyle Lowry actually had gone to the Lakers when the Raptors were having their fire sale at the trade deadline? would be a very different matchup we would be talking about tonight.
Yes, so, big time.
There you go. The what if. That goes in the what if bin. All right, next up, Draymond. Back on TNT, which is so much fun. Shout out to those guys in the studio. He said that he is the Nets winning the East. Take a listen here.
Milwaukee's already in the conference semis. Brooklyn's a win away. Who's winning the East?
I don't know if you're getting anything bold out of me here. Who's winning the East?
Who's going to win the East?
Brooklyn's winning the East. I don't really think that's that bold, though, but who's beating them?
Milwaukee Bucks.
Good luck, Chuck. Good luck, Chuck.
First of all, I love how he paused. He was like, wait, why are you asking me a question that's so obvious to me? Brian, do you agree that Draymond is right with his pick? Do you think that pick, you know, what do you think? Something, nothing, or everything?
Well, Draymond, I don't make predictions like you just did, but let me tell you why it's everything. Because the reason Draymond is giving the Nets so much respect here is because he is defense first. Mm-hmm. He eats, sleeps, and drinks defense, and he's looking at them going, I don't know how to defend him. Right. And this is also a guy who's been on some great offensive teams. He's got a good frame of reference. He is in the league right now. He's looking at it. And this is what this whole postseason is about, in my view, is can you win with straight gas offense? Now, I really wasn't aware of the NBA in the 80s when the Showtime Lakers were playing with straight gas and just outscoring everybody at full speed. This is like the Showtime Nets. This is the beginning of an era of full offensive, or it's not. Or it's an era where a great defensive team like Milwaukee can win. And Draymond is casting his vote that he thinks it's an era of offense.
I'm saying it's nothing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you look at people and you say, okay.
He just totally disregarded it. Like, he took his seven rings and said,
this is nothing, because who in their right mind don't think the Avengers are going to come out of the East? That's what they are. They assemble the best team, one of the best teams ever to play this game. You got James Harden MVP, KD MVP, Kyrie could be an MVP. What are you talking about? This is nothing, because this is what everybody at home is sitting around thinking. This was every
basketball
player's thinking.
See, now you're disrespecting the Bucks and
I'm not disrespecting,
like they're nothing.
I'm not disrespecting the Bucks. The Bucks are playing out of their mind, but I'm just saying there's teams that are better than other teams, and right now this team is better than the Bucks or anybody in the East.
The fact that player after player analyst says the Nets, that what you have to remember is the Nets have these three guys, and that is the answer to every question, that always matters to me. And look, I also will say Draymond and KD are still close. So I would not expect Draymond to pick anyone else. I will say that if the Nets advance here, boy, that second round series is going to be insane.
I'm waiting for that.
Milwaukee and Brooklyn, it could be one of the best series of the playoffs and make the Eastern Conference Finals somewhat anticlimactic.
I think it's going to be the best matchup in on the East and the West. So I think it's going to be the best.
All right. Well, speaking of the Bucks, they did sweep the Heat. Remember a season ago, the Heat had their way with the Bucks. So this was a little revenge. 17-point victory in game 4. Robert, is the Bucks sweeping the Heat something, nothing, or everything?
This is everything to
me. Boy.
Because you gotta think about it. The Bucks have been snake bitten for so long. You know, Bud has been sitting over and said, I've been here coaching so long. I'm trying to figure out how to get my team back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, what? I got somebody in front of me.
Yeah.
I got the Nets coming. Yep. But let's get out of here. Let's get some confidence. Let's get some rest so we can go out and game plan for the Nets. And that's the best thing about this. This is everything, because the Bucks need a shot of confidence.
Yeah.
They traded 3 first round picks and 2 pick swaps for Drew Holiday.
Worth it.
Do you know what Drew Holiday was in the series against the Heat? He was plus 98.
Worth it.
In 4 games. Plus 98. In game 3, Giannis, great player, was plus 4. Hey, plus 4 for a guy that plays big minutes in a playoff game, that's good. You know what Drew was in game 3? Plus 41.
Worth it.
So this is their, you know, they went, to say they went all in is almost an understatement. They go all in on Drew Holiday. They trade another first round pick to get PJ Tucker, to get versatile defensive players to do this. That's why this is everything. I know that beating the Heat doesn't define their season, but it verifies what they're doing. That's what I'm saying. They're going down this lane, and the Nets are going down this lane, and we're going to see in the next 2 weeks probably who is right.
Right. No, and And look at that, Udonis Haslam, UD.
Try to get him fired up, but
shout out forever. I will say this, and we talked about this last week, that the Bucks had the chance to avoid playing the Heat in the first round. They were playing late regular season games against Miami, and very easily could have done what the Clippers apparently did and decided to pick their own path in the bracket. And instead, Milwaukee very purposely came out and said, "No, we want to win this regular season game. We want to face them in the first round. We want to face our old demons." And then they came out and vanquished them. And I do think that that matters for confidence. And then when they face a team with two MVPs and another champion on it and some other guys whose names we know very well, all-stars, et cetera, we will see what that confidence actually means. Now, speaking of the Clippers, what have they figured out in their series against the Mavs? We'll discuss that after the break. That is another huge game coming up here in L.A. Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell. I am Rachel Nichols in my nice heavy sweater with Brian Windhorst, Robert Ori. The Clippers went into Dallas and took two games to tie the series 2-2. They dominated in game four, especially winning by 25 points. So, Robert, I got to say, I'm going to do a little mea culpa here. When Ty Lue, after game two, said, "Oh, yeah, sure, they came and shot the lights out on our floor, but let's go see them try to do it at home," I was
Don't mea culpa that. That was an insane take.
I was like, that is an odd thing to say. I didn't kill him for it, but I was just like, that is not, let's see if they can shoot well at home is not something we hear normally in the NBA. And then he was right.
That's when we'd be like, huh? It was a head scratcher.
I scratched my head again. I didn't kill him for it, but I was just like, well, that is not what we usually hear. And I will give him credit. He was right. The Mavericks shooting numbers did drop. Have the Clippers figured out something with Dallas going a little smaller, all the stuff they did?
I think when you watch these games, these last two games, the Clippers were in attack mode. They was like, okay, you know, you've been attacking us on our home court. Now you're going to get home and be comfortable. So we're going to go in attack mode, because if you look at this Dallas team, there's nobody real in this team. You say, oh, he's a great defender, or he's a decent defender. They don't have that. And you think about Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, two of the most dynamic offensive players in the game. Attack these guys, go at them. And when now, that's what they're doing. I've never seen Kawhi shoot so many shots with 2 seconds within the shot clock. He just comes down and raises up. That lets you know he's in attack mode, and he is killing them right now.
Yep.
What do you say about this team? They are like a child who was bringing home C's, and then they get 100 on the test. And you're very happy with them that they got the 100. You're very impressed, but then you're like, but how did you get the C's? Why were you getting the C's? You're better than this. And we're going to switch into a little betting segment here. Whatever you do, do not bet on the Clippers at all. I have no idea what's going to happen. This is a team that knew that they were in trouble down 2-0, mm-hmm. knew that the Dallas Mavericks were the best team in the NBA, one of the best teams of all time, when they lead after the first quarter.
Yep.
They're like unbeatable to lead after the first quarter. So they know we're in
and
big trouble.
And yet they fell down in game three.
What am I supposed to read out of that? No, you are, Rachel, you are right. Ty Lue made defensive changes. He simplified their defense. He went smaller. He basically said, "Chris Porzingis, I know you're 7 foot, but we're going to guard you like a guard."
Yep.
And it worked. Their defense did improve.
And went at him defensively, obviously.
Yes, they shot 5 of 30. On three-pointers in game four.
We can't ignore, though, that Luka had a serious neck problem.
It's helpful to be able to look left.
Yes, when you are a point guard. And someone who really relies on peripheral shooting, where he doubled over just there, I remember that. I mean, he fired one of those great passes, and then literally you could just see in his face that it put him in such pain. Now, I don't know. Again, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how close this is to Chris Paul's injury. We saw a few days it took to really get to a point where he was comfortable playing on the court. I don't know if the Mavericks have that kind of time with Luka or how much better he's going to feel. He has said it's been improving. But you can look. I mean, those numbers tell you everything you need to know about his health right now. And, Robert, if he's not close to 100%, I mean, you talk about what this Mavs team does and doesn't have. If they don't have a good Luka Doncic, that's kind of...
When you have a guy like Luka who is so important to your whole team, and if he's not healthy, your team is not healthy. So if he's not on the court making everybody around him better, the Dallas Mavericks are going to be in trouble, because there's no Jason Kidd walking through that door. And so they need someone to make other guys around the team better, because
Porzingis
lives off him.
The last game and a half, and my expectation is that is the way they will play going forward. You have the ability. You have the game plan. Do it. Do it.
Here's what I will say. I give a lot of credit to Kawhi and Paul George for this.
Yes.
Last year, when the pedal was to the metal, they did not show up to their standards. Forget everyone else's standards. They will tell you they did not show up to their standards. When the pedal was to the metal in game three, they showed up. And they've done that since. I'll be interested in game five. We'll see. It's Jumps back tomorrow. Everyone's in the building.
They better show up.